It is a blessing to be here this morning. I want to let you know that you're visiting with us. You are indeed our honored guests. We're always thankful to have those with us who may not be members of the Lord's church or maybe visiting from other locales. We're always thankful for you being with us. But we are indeed grateful to always have our members here from the Ninth and Main Church of Christ. And it's nothing like seeing home folk gathering together to worship God, to remember the death of our Lord in hopes of his return. And as we are worshiping God in spirit and in truth, we benefit from it by encouraging one another. That's why I love Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, as we are to provoke one another unto love and good works. For this is the reason, verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. So we want to encourage one another, encourage each other to continue to gather together on the first day of the week. This morning, I want us to take our thoughts from Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, the key verse is going to be verse 19. But we're going to read Matthew chapter 11, verses 1 through 19 for a few minutes, and then we'll make some application on these great passages. Matthew chapter 11. And it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. And when John had heard in prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and tell John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whoever shall not be offended in me. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitude concerning John, What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken in the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of woman, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violence take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesy until John. And if you will receive it, this is Elijah, which was for to come. He that hath ear to hear, let him hear. But whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is like unto the children sitting in the marketplace, calling unto their fellows, and saying, We have piped unto you, and ye have not danced. We have mourned unto you, and ye have not lamented. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he hath a devil. The Son of Man come eating and drinking, and they say, Behold, a man glutton and a wine-bibber, friend of publicans and sinners, but wisdom is justified of her children. For the last few weeks in the summer, we have been talking about the sayings of Jesus. I believe that what we're talking about today is gravely important as it relates to some of the sayings of Jesus Christ. Verse number 19 is really the key to what I want us to talk about on this morning. In Proverbs chapter 1 and verse number 7, we're going to start there. There the Bible teaches us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, is the beginning of discernment. But fools despise wisdom. Fools despise skill and instruction and correction. Now, notice those things there, friends. Here we see Solomon says something that's very important to his son Rehoboam. The fear of the Lord begins with fearing God, the beginning of knowledge. But those who don't want to have anything to do with God, what they do is despise skill in war, skill in decision making, yea, skill in life. But fools despise wisdom and instruction, chastisement, correction. In Proverbs 4 and verse number 7, Solomon tells his son, wisdom is the principal thing. Listen to that verse there. Wisdom is the principal thing. It's the first thing. Get wisdom. And in all thy getting, do what? Get an understanding. Now, I want us to consider that real quick. If we're going to be a people that are going to be wise, make the right decisions, go in the right direction, we have to be a people who fear the Lord first. We have to be a people who have an understanding of what wisdom is. The ability to see ahead right now. Most people in this world today do not apply the wisdom of God because they don't know the wisdom of God. In James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18, turn your Bibles there real quick. And friends, it's vitally important for us to go through this chain of reasoning in order for us to truly get a grasp of what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11 and verse number 19. Many people today want to be able to have a good life. The children of God, Christians, members of the Church of Christ, should have a good life based upon the instruction that God has left us. And because God has left us great instruction, great wisdom, we then apply it to our lives, and then our lives reflect it. We then become a product not only of our thinking, but of the thinking of God. Not only do we become a product of the thinking of God, but as we apply it to our lives, they that are around us also benefit from that way of thinking. In James chapter 3 and verse number 13 through verse 18, there are two types of wisdom. Two types of thinking, if you will. Notice what James says, the half-brother of Jesus, as he is talking to those who are scattered abroad. Who is wise? Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation, literally a good lifestyle, his works with meekness of wisdom. Here it is. But if you have bitter envy and strife in your heart, glory not, meaning don't boast in this, nor lie against the truth. This wisdom, it comes down from above. This wisdom descended not down from above, but is earthly, it's sensual, it's devilish. Now notice what the wisdom that is not from above look like. It is earthly, it is sensual, and it's demonic. Verse 16, for where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Now, I want us to take that in real quick. And I want us to think about the world that we live in and possibly even some of the homes that we may be a part of. If these things are involved in those particular, in our particular lives, we need to reevaluate some things. But then notice verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Notice, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. You know, I could give the invitation right now. Because when we consider the two types of wisdom, the one that doesn't come from above and the one that does come from above. The one that comes from above is first pure and peaceable, willing to yield, meaning that you can be talked to and reasoned with. But the wisdom that comes from down here is earthly, it's sensual, and it's devilish. Now, I want us to think about that as we peer our thoughts into Matthew chapter 11 in the sayings of Jesus Christ. Friends, there's only two types of wisdom. And the question we have to ask ourselves today is, what type of wisdom am I embracing? What type of wisdom stamps my mind? What types of wisdom is saturating my thoughts? What type of wisdom do I represent? That's a good question right there. Jesus deals with this in Matthew chapter 11 as we deal with the thoughts of Jesus Christ. Now, I do want to say from the onset that when we get to verse number 15, we're going to make a small trek to Luke chapter 7, verse 29 and 30, to grab all of the context of Matthew chapter 11, and then we'll be able to see why is Jesus saying that wisdom is justified of her children. In the first three verses of Matthew 11, Jesus gives instruction, first to his 12, and now he leaves into the cities to preach and teach. Preach, meaning that to proclaim the word, teach, meaning to have dialogue and give instruction. But then we find a problem. In verse number 3, we find, or verse number 2 rather, we find John as he is sending two disciples to Jesus Christ. Now, according to Matthew chapter 14, the first four verses, we find John in prison for one reason and one reason alone. Standing up for the wisdom of God. He told Herod that it's not right, lawful for you to have your brother Philip's wife. He was standing up for righteousness. He was standing up for truth. And hold on, when we consider this, this Herod, he was a Gentile. Here, John is of the Jewish descent, and he's telling this Gentile, Brother Brian, that it's not lawful for you to have your brother's wife, which means that marriage law wasn't just for the Jews, it was for all people, Genesis 2, 24 and verse 25. That's good teaching. He's standing up for the wisdom of God, not for the wisdom of men. So here, John, he's in prison, and I guess he just wants to make sure that I'm in prison for the right reason. I'm about to lose my head for the right reason. I'm about to die for the right reason. You go ask Jesus, is he the coming one, or should we look for another? One thing I love about Jesus, friends, listen to this. Jesus didn't respond to the two disciples of John by giving him some feel-good lessons. Some feel-good sayings. He refers back to Isaiah 29 and Isaiah 35, the prophecy going toward Isaiah, looking toward Elijah, which is John the Baptist, saying, man, you're dying for the right reason. Notice what he says, friends. Notice what Jesus tells the two to go back, and you tell John. And friends, when we are talking to our friends, I just received a question this morning. I was walking inside of the auditorium, received a question from someone in another state, and they're asking me a question, and now I gotta be contemplating, what does God say about this question this person just asked me? Unfortunately, we live in a world today when someone asks people religious questions, they say, well, I think, well, I believe, this is what I'm gathering. No, Jesus refers the two disciples of John. You go back and you tell John Isaiah chapter 29 and Isaiah chapter 35. What does that teach us? That Jesus is going back to the wisdom of his Father and not the wisdom of man. Oh, you're dying for the right reason. So you go back and you tell him the things that's taken place. The blind is seeing. The lame is walking. Notice verse 5. The lepers are cleansed. The deaf are hearing. Here is the point. When you consider these passages, now I'm about to throw this in. This is a good point. You better write this down. Mark chapter 16, verse number 20. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 2 through 4. The Father never validates anything that is wrong, anything that is evil with a miracle. What is Jesus teaching? You go tell John that the things that are taking place is because of the mighty works that he did. He paved the way for me to come to this world. You know one thing, friends, that I love, and you ought to love too. The Bible, the Word of God, paves the way for our life if we would just walk in its path. Friends, think about it. So can you imagine when John receives that information from his two disciples? I can just imagine his thoughts like, I can go in peace. Notice verses 7 through verse number 11. Jesus turns his attention to the multitude now. First he was talking to the two. Now he turns his attention to the multitude. Notice what he says. What do you go out there to the wilderness to see? Talking about John. A reed shaken by the wind. Someone who is just soft-hearted. Someone who is carried away by every wind of teaching. Someone who has no stability in their life. Someone who has no conviction. Someone who has no trust in God. When you went out into the wilderness, when John was preaching baptism, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand for the remission of sins, Mark 1 and verse number 4, what did you go out there to see? This was no soft man. This was a man's man out there preaching. As a matter of fact, as he was out there preaching, he didn't wear the best clothes and he didn't eat the best meals, but he was out there because he had a job to do. So, notice, what did you go out there to see? And he says in verse number 9, but what did you go out there to see? A prophet? I tell you, yeah, a prophet, more than a prophet. For this is he who is written. Now notice, Jesus quotes another scripture. He goes to Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. Friends, y'all stay with me. This is vitally important. Because he is validating John the Baptist. He's validating this man of God who was out in the wilderness, who all Judea went out to go hear him preach about the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You need to repent and turn away from sin. But then notice what he says. Behold, I send my messenger before your face who will prepare your way before you. Jesus, why are you saying these things? I'm saying these things because John paved the way for the one in whom you're listening to right now. Hold on. Can you imagine the multitude hearing these things? And all of the different messages that they probably heard for all of those years. And now here comes Jesus, and he is telling them that Elijah, John the Baptist, the one that is about to lose his head, the one that was out in the wilderness, he was preaching the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. I'm he. I'm that one you need to be listening to. Question. Who is the world listening to today? I'm not talking about the church. Who is the world listening to today? That'll make sense here in a minute. Verse number 11 through verse 14. Notice. Assuredly I say unto you, among those born of woman, there is not one risen greater than John the Baptist. But he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Stop. If you're a member of the Lord's church, you've been baptized into Christ. Jesus said, we're greater than John the Baptist. Hold on. John the Baptist was the one that brought forth the wisdom of God. He's the one that paved the way for Jesus Christ. But Jesus himself said, those who are members of the kingdom, those who are least in the kingdom, are greater than this one, John the Baptist. Why? We're under a better system. The system that we're under today is superior to the Mosaic system in which John was under. John was pointing from a system that was inferior to a system that was superior, which was the system that Jesus Christ was going to be king over. But then notice verse number 14. And if you are willing to receive it, he is Elijah, who is to come. Now turn to Luke chapter 7, verse 29 and 30. Let's make this connection. Why is Jesus saying these things? And what does this have to do with wisdom just being justified of her children? You remember when John the Baptist was out in the wilderness preaching? And as he was preaching, there were those who believed his message and they were baptized. They believed the message of the kingdom of God coming and the remission of sins. Hold on. The same message that the apostles preached in Acts chapter 2 is the same message that John was preaching in the wilderness. Ponder that. Now, here's the key, friends. In Luke chapter 7, verse 29 and 30, you have those religious leaders, those Pharisees and teachers, as they was looking at those individuals being baptized under John. They weren't being baptized. I can just imagine them turning their heads looking like this. I don't know why they're being baptized. We're under Moses. They were the ones that did not want to heed to the wisdom of God. They heeded, Brother Dennis, to their own wisdom, just like even some in the church do today. They don't heed to the wisdom of God. They heed to their own wisdom. And just like those in the world, they rather heed to their own wisdom than heed to the wisdom of God. But hold on. The wisdom of God leads to a better life, a pure life, a peaceable life, a life that is full of fruit, good fruit that is. But the wisdom that comes from down here, when people follow it, it leads them to a devil's hell and a hard life. Notice the text. And when all the people, verse 29, heard him, even the tax collectors justified God. Now that's the key. In essence, they declared God righteous because of the message of John the Baptist. You know, in essence, what they're saying? The message that John was preaching is 100% spot on. It's 100% right. We're going to follow his message. But notice what he goes on to say. Having been baptized with the baptism of John, but the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel, the advice of who? Of God for themselves, not having been baptized. Go back to John, Matthew chapter 11 real quick. We'll make some application. This is why Jesus says what he says. Brother Pope Joy, you have those who believe John's message. Then you have those who didn't believe John's message. You have those who did what God said, and then you have those who didn't do what God said. Now, it's the same today in 2017, and it has been the same for the last 2017 years, that men and women either did God's will, or they did man's will, or their own will. Notice the text, verse number 15. He who has ears, let him hear. But what shall I liken the men of this generation to? It's like children sitting in the marketplace, New King James Version, calling to their companions, saying, we played the flute, you didn't dance. We mourned, did not beat the breast. You didn't lament. Now notice the two things that's going on. Notice the contrast that's going on. Here, we wanted to have a good time. Here's the children out in the marketplace, and you didn't want to have a good time, their friends. We wanted to play funeral, but you didn't want to play funeral. Notice the two things that's going on. Jesus said, y'all like children in the marketplace. talking to grown men, y'all. You know, sometimes grown men act just like kids.
Why is that? After a while, 1 Corinthians 13, you got to put away jobs. Man ought to be a man, take care of your kids. Man ought to be a man, take care of your wife. Man ought to be a man, take care of your leadership in the church. A man ought to be a man, do something in society that you could be an asset. You know what? Members of the Lord's church ought to be the greatest assets to any society we're in.
If not, why not? So Jesus said to these men, and I know he's talking to men because of Luke chapter 7, verse 31. What y'all liken the men of this generation to? He's talking to men. Children in the marketplace. You know what he's saying already? You've got to get to a point where you're making decisions based upon what God says. Not what you think. Notice verse 18. They're not happy. They're not content. John came neither eating nor drinking. They say he has a demon. Son of man come eating and drinking. And they say, look, a glutton, wine bibber, friend of tax collectors and sinners. Which one would you rather be?
I think I'd rather be the one that's friends to sinners.
Why? Because at least I can make an imprint. I can stamp something on their heart. Let me go ahead and give you this good nugget of truth right here.
You remember in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, God made us in his image. You know what that literally means? God gave us a stamp of who he is. When we take God's word and we apply it to our lives, we take God's wisdom and we apply it to our lives, it then stamps our hearts.
It saturates our mind. We begin to walk accordingly. Friends, if we want our friends and families who are not members of the Lord's church, who are not stamped by the word of God, to have the wisdom of Almighty God, then we got to do our part by being stamped by God himself. Notice the last verse. But wisdom is justified by her children. Let's break this verse down. Wisdom, which is knowledge that is practice of a thing necessary for the achievement of a specific end. Justified, pronouncing or declaring something to be proper or right. Children, the one that is molded or being molded by the instruction given. Question. Jesus said wisdom is justified by her children. You, me, we are products of what we think. We are products of the information we take in. Have you ever had a song and that song was in your heart? And as you're in the car, you just, doing like that. Y'all look at me. Man, that's a good song. Maybe some of y'all are a little bit more sophisticated, so you sit there and tap in your car. Or you drive and you get your, and it's just stamping your heart. Something you really like. You know what God's word ought to do? It ought to stamp your heart just like that. That when it's time to make good decisions, what type of decisions? Decisions on who to marry. Amen. I ought to be looking for someone in Christ. On a good man, I ought to be looking for someone who is saturated by the word of God. Or have a desire to be saturated with the word of God. Or how about a job? I want to have a job that I can go and give God the most glory. Who is there that I can make an imprint upon? That I can make an impression upon their lives that they can see Christ living in me, the hope of glory. That people see my life, Matthew 5 and verse 16, and as they see my life, they glorify the Father which is in heaven. Jesus, as he makes this very powerful point, and he brings up, friends, these laymen and tax collectors, and then he brings up these Pharisees and lawyers, and he makes this dichotomy between the two of them, and he says, we have those who believe John's message, and they receive the remission of sins, and then you have those who heard the same message, and they didn't receive the remission of sins, all because they would rather go according to their own understanding and their own wisdom, rather than the wisdom of God. And friends, we see it in our day and time, even today. No wonder there is so much pain in the world today. I believe there's your answer, at least somewhat. Where does evil, pain, and suffering come from? Evil, pain, and suffering, from one part, comes when men do not adhere to the will of God. And then another part, when men adhere to the will of God, and they suffer at the hands of those who do not adhere to the will of God. So the question we ask ourselves is, how much wisdom do I want? Do I want to be a better man? Do I want to be a better wife, a better woman? Do I want to be a better Christian? Do I want to be a better grandparent? Do I want to be a better business owner? Do I want to be a better employee? Do I want to be a better? Do I want to be better? Well, if I want to be better, I got to go to the better book. I have to go to the wisdom of God. Because he has the instruction. He has the righteousness. He has the wisdom. And the wisdom that comes forth from above is always pure and peaceful. Willing to yield. I don't have to have it my way. Are you a person that just got to have it your way? At home, at work, at church, even driving, throwing cups in front of you, you just gotta have it your way. Friends, we can't be that way. That wisdom does not come from above. The wisdom that comes from above, I don't have to have it my way. Evelyn, if you wanna have that carpet green, go ahead and have green carpet, but that don't mean I gotta be in there.
Y'all looking funny. Sometimes. Like those in the marketplace. God is teaching us. I want you to have the wisdom. My wisdom is here. Peaceful. Gentle. Willing to yield. No hypocrisy. No partiality. What type of wisdom finds you here? What was that last verse again? Matthew 11, verse 19. Wisdom is justified by her children. We are the product of the wisdom that we take in. What wisdom are you taking in? Read me some of these. You live in a very violent world. You have people who want to do harm to other people. They're part of the narrative. In the cyber world that we live in, older generation may not know something about this, but online, you have all of these Facebook wars, and these cyber wars going on. Sometimes we get this passed out of the world we live in. Let us be careful that what's going on in our mind doesn't transmit to our fingers. Let's use wisdom. We are an extension of what we take in. So therefore, guard your heart with all diligence, while there is many issues of life. Watch what you take in. If something is on your television and it's going to cause you to stumble, cut it off. If it continues to happen, call direct television, call this TV, and tell them, cut my stuff off. I would rather be cut off down here than be cut off from God. That's the wisdom. That's practical. And it's difficult sometimes, especially being young. Especially being
and vibrant and having all this energy. And we think we're strong enough to handle some of the things that confront us. Friend, you want to protect your home and protect your marriage and protect your children. Do all that you can to get the wisdom of God and put the wisdom of God into the heart of your children and be like Solomon.
Need to. You want to pray for you. You want to hug your neck. You want to let you know it's all right.